Yeah, Ali Madhav, everybody. First of all, thank you to Rosmin and Karima for those very welcoming and warm words. And thank you to all of you who have decided to continue with this personal search. This is an immense blessing of Maulana Hazar Imam. Muki Hussain has been in touch and always communicating very openly. And you are also lucky that under his and Alwais Nizam Awani's guidance, you all had more than 1.5 years of lectures. And you covered many, many subjects. But I think that in this new form now, this is a new beginning of this series, we felt that perhaps we should now, that I think all of us are ready now to look at our own tariqa knowledge, our own haqiqati knowledge in greater detail. So I really hope that all of you are ready to explore our dua, which we recite every day, 3 times, that we go into the depth. There are many levels at which you can discuss the dua. Now you can, you may be aware that when I was with the Tariqa board, I used to do 7 days continuous wazis in Jamaat Khanas to cover the 6 parts and an introduction and a conclusion. So this series can last for longer than that because the request is that we should really look at things more deeply. And what is our motivation? What is our inspiration? Our inspiration is, of course, the words of Imam-e Zaman. They are the most important things in our life. What are the words of Imam-e Zaman? 1969, Pune, India, February 1969. I would like each and every spiritual child not only to know the dua by heart, which inshallah we all do, but to understand the meaning of the dua. It is fundamental for you and for your children and the future of our Jamaat, for the future of our Jamaat, that each and every one of you, particularly the younger members of the Jamaat, should understand the meaning of the dua. It is fundamental that you should understand the meaning of the dua. I mean, you notice how much emphasis there is because Imam repeats the same sentence 3 times. And he uses the word fundamental in this one short paragraph 2x, right? And he's not exempting anybody, old and young, but particularly the young, because he has told us many times that your younger generation are going to face a very difficult future. So this is so, so important for me. And there is another farman earlier, a little bit earlier, 2 years earlier, in 1967, in Bombay this time. And Mola says, if you recite parts of the Quran, if you recite, and that is what we do, you know, every single a part of the dua contains a Quranic reference, if not one, more than one. If you recite parts of the Quran, certain words must represent to you a concept. If you study the Quran-e Sharif, this concept will become well known to you and through you to the Jamaat at large. This takes many years of study. I do not want you to think that this work, that this can be learned easily or without hard work. So let's all pray to Maulana Hazar Imam to give us that hard work and give us that inspiration and that impetus, the energy, the good health to attend this series now. And I think that by perhaps just one person leading this complete series, we might build up a relationship where you will be able to refer all your questions to me, and you hear from me the answers. And of course, then you can discuss those answers and that knowledge with whoever you like in the Jama'at. But I will try to give you concrete references from the Quran. So just like Rosmin said, you will have to bear with me. This is now like a study group. It's not going to be just listening to lectures, but a study group where I give you ayats during the lecture and we look at them in detail. And I may even give you a couple of ayats only to look at before I do my next session. I hope that this is agreeable to all of you. Okay, so with that introduction then, first of all, the importance of dua. The word dua is the same root as the word da'wa or da'i. So dua means to call, to invoke, to call somebody. In this case, of course, we are calling God. We are calling our Creator, our Lord. So there's a very important hadith of the Holy Prophet. It's a very short one. So I will first tell you what the Arabic is. Ad-du'a, ad-du'a, mukul ibadah. Only three words. Ad-du'a, mukul ibadah. And you know the word du'a? You know the word ibadah, ibadat. And what does that mean in English? Du'a, du'a is the essence of ibadat. Isn't that a lovely saying? A saying that can really, you know, deepen our appreciation of what we do three times a day. Du'a is the essence of ibadat. Now, why did the Prophet say that? Why did he give it that importance? For that, I'm going to ask you one thing which I would suggest to all of you. In my other classes, my students do that. Keep a holy Quran with you. And I have said many times when people have asked, which is the best Quran? All Qurans are best because it is the word of God through the Holy Prophet Muhammad. But when it comes to translations, that's where the trouble starts, right? So I will always recommend that whichever translation you have, try to get hold of a copy which has three columns. First column are the Arabic words in the Arabic script. Middle column is the transliteration, which means it is the Arabic words, but they are written in the English alphabet. So we can read, okay? We can actually read it, even though we may not know the actual Arabic language as such. And then the third column, which is the one which we have to be very careful with, is the translation in English, okay? So now, the importance of dua from the Prophet's hadith, but let us back it up. Let us look at what the Holy Quran also says. What does God himself say? So I would like you to look at Surah 2, Ayat 186. So those of you who have a Quran, either on your tablet or mobile or in a hard copy, Surah 2 is easy to open up quickly. It's at the front of the Quran, and we go to ayat number 186. And what is Allah saying here? Allah is saying, and when my servants, ibadi, those who do my ibadah, when my servants question you concerning me, you know, people are always asking the Holy Prophet about God, you know. So Allah is saying, when my servants question you concerning me, then surely I am near. I am near. The Arabic word is Kareeb. Kareeb, you know, which is in our Swahili language. Most of us from this session are from East African origins, you know that when you enter the home of a Swahili speaker, they say, Karibu, Karibu, Karib. This is an Arabic word. Okay? And then, the next sentence is very important. I'll read it in Arabic so you get used to the words. Ujibu da'wat da'i za da'ani. You see, ujibu, jawab, reply. Da'wat da'i za da'ani. So, I answer the prayer of the suppliant when he or she calls me. See, dua. I answer the prayer, the call of the suppliant when he or she calls me. So there is the word dua in the Quranic ayat, Surah 2, ayat 186. And now let's go to another one, which is 40, Surah 40, ayat 60. Another very beautiful words. And your Lord has said, pray unto me, and I will hear your prayer. Pray unto me, and I will hear your prayer. So now we have a hadith. We have two Quranic ayats which tell us how important this communication is between the servant, the slaves, the ones who do ibadah, and our asal, our origin, Allah, God. Okay? Look what Mawlana Sultan Muhammad says in his chapter 8 of the memoirs, right? And you will all be quite tired of me saying memoirs chapter, but it is a really a treasure chest. It's a treasure trove. The more you dig into it, the more you will find in it. And it never finishes. So what does Mawlana Sultan Muhammad Shah say? He says, prayer is a daily necessity. It is a direct communication between the spark and the universal flame. Short sentence, but look at the depth of it. Prayer is a daily necessity. So as human beings, we know, you know, we all of us have enough of akal and education to know that our necessities are that we have oxygen to breathe, that we have water, clean, pure water to drink, and that we have food to sustain us. Yes, these are our necessities. We need to sleep every day in order to recover from our fatigue or tiredness. Necessities. Necessities mean that thing without which you cannot live. You cannot exist. If any one of these things was denied to us, if we had no oxygen, if we had no food, if we had no water, if we had no sleep, then maybe we would last for, you know, a couple of days or whatever. But after a while, we would certainly feel totally exhausted and, you know, we will not be able to survive for long. I know people do things like they go on strikes, don't they, in a prison. Mahatma Gandhi used to strike by fasting, yeah, during the times of fighting for the liberation of India. Yeah, people do that. And yes, they have the willpower to do without one thing, like food. But they have water, they have air. So remember that when Mawlana Sultan Shah Salawatullahi Alayhi used the word, prayer is a daily necessity. How important is it? And how easy is it to explain to our younger generation? Surely. And then he says, why is it a daily necessity? Because it's a direct communication of our little spark, which is from Allah, and the universal flame. Our spark comes from the universal flame. This prayer helps us to link with our origin. It reminds us of who we really are. It may remind us of our purpose on this earth. So the more you think about this one sentence, prayer is a daily necessity, the more you will understand that it is really important for us to have this type of understanding. So now, I think one or two points about why it is important to understand the dua, its meanings and its concepts, right? That the meanings and the concepts which are in the dua, they encapsulate all our principles, fundamental principles. It is my belief, I think, it is my belief, that if any Ismaili really understands the Quranic concepts of our dua, they will never ever have difficulty explaining our tariqah to anybody. And they will never have to keep quiet when they are attacked by others. Our dua contains all the ethics that we should have. Akhlaq, ethics. Our dua has all those. Our dua also reminds us of the shortness of this life and the eternal life which awaits every one of us. You know? And the dua, knowing its meanings, it can help us to have strength in adversity and humility in success. We'll come to those, you'll see when you start really going to each phrase and each concept, how much humility our dua can give us when you are successful, and how much strength and willpower it can give us in our times of difficulties, because every human life has a share of both, good and bad. And if I remind you here of Farman of Maulana Hazrat Imam of 1962, he said, if you are staunch in your faith, and by that he means you are practicing your faith every day, if you are staunch in your faith, you cannot be unhappy. You cannot be unhappy. You may be sad, you may be worried, but you will not be unhappy. You know, these words are read out in Jamaat Khana, but I don't think any of us take the time to reflect on these words. You know, as human beings, you may be sad, you may be worried, but you still have a satisfaction and a contentment in your life because you know that you are God's creature, that He has created you, that your life depends on Him. So why should you be ultra worried? And our Gyanic literature also substantiates this all the time. Now we come to an important point. How do we do our dua? How do we pray? Allah tells us that when you call on Him, He answers you. He hears you. But what should this dua be like? Because, you know, all of us will say, oh, I'm so many years old, and I have been reciting dua for all these years. Yeah. If you take me, at my age, I'm at the transition between so we need to know a little bit of history as well. So maybe this is a good point to interject the history, is that Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah Salawatullahi Alayhi introduced the Arabic dua. So the question is now, what were the Jamaat reciting? I think those of us who are from the Indian subcontinent, we know that we were reciting the dua in Gujarati, right? Dua pada, dua pada, ek manthi wala meria, right? If any of you remember these words. I don't remember too many of those words. It's a very interesting document to also study. Now, you'll be amazed. There is so much Arabic in it. There is so much Parsi in it. And then there is a Gujarati as well. It's a very historical document. So the Indian subcontinent Jamaat were doing this dua which had originally been composed by Pir Sadruddin, and apparently Pir Shihabuddin Shah had adjusted it according to the time, and I think the Farsi must have come into it at that time. I don't know, because even Pir Sadruddin was a Persian, right? So there were some changes made by Pir Shihabuddin Shah al-Husseini. So that was the Indian subcontinent. What about the Jamaat of Badakhshan? You know, I have first-hand knowledge of Hunza because I'm married to a Hunza. They were reciting prayers in Farsi. So I imagine that all of Badakhshan, they had different prayers, but in their own language. And of course, the Jamaat of Syria would have had Arabic prayers. So there was a diversity of traditions and a diversity of languages. And Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah, because he was the 48th Imam in whose time the cycle of spirituality had begun, with his foresight, he knew very well that there would be globalization, that the Jamaat would become one. He made he started the transition from the whatever languages the Jamaat were praying into Arabic. And in East Africa, the new dua, the Arabic dua, was actually introduced during Maulana Sultan Shah's lifetime. And this process continued, and I know that the dua went to Iran. What was our friend's name in India? He's now no longer with us. He used to come to the institute. He was given the task of introducing the dua in Iran. And the last Jamaat to have this dua introduced is, of course, the Tajikistan Jamaat. 1995, Maulana Hazar Imam gave the command that they should have the Arabic dua as well. And this is to do with globalization, with the Jamaat emerging from wherever they were not in contact with and becoming one Jamaat, which, as you know, became the slogan of the Diamond Jubilee. When Maulana Sultan Shah started introducing, and then Hazar Imam followed that process, in the early days, I think there are some of you who are nearer my age who is there, that, you know, there were some very unhealthy comments in the Jamaat. Some people said, oh, Mola panke Musalman banai rahiyo hai. You know, as though we were not Muslims, yeah? So that means that those people who made such comments didn't even understand the Gujarati dua, which had so much Arabic in it and so many Quranic references. It's nothing to do with making us Muslims, yeah? We have been Muslims from the word go. 500-600 years, our ancestors accepted the Dawat of Pir Sadruddin, right? And we have been Muslims from that long time. Okay, so that was a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of the history. Now I've come to the important point about how should we do dua? How? Should we just sit and in Jamaat Khana and recite like parrots, or follow a person who is reciting and we do all the action? No. For this, we have to go to the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 65. A very interesting ayah. Yeah? Surah 29, 65. So I'll bring out the English. So when they embark or mount upon the ships, they pray to Allah, making their faith pure for Him only. But when He brings them safely to the land, behold, they ascribe partners unto him. It's a really good description of human nature, isn't it? So imagine that in this Quranic ayat, God is telling us that, you know, there are people in ships, and when the sea is stormy and there are storm-like conditions, high waves, and the ship is, you know, moving from side to side, up and down, people are really frightened for their lives. So they forget everything, and they concentrate on remembering God. Please save us, oh God, please save us, right? Whatever else they say, yeah, in those circumstances. And God saves them and brings them safely to the dry land. But as soon as they land on the dry land, their iman is no longer that strong, right? I think this is such an apt ayat, isn't it? It describes our situation, that we pray really, really seriously and rigorously when we are in trouble. And the minute we are out of our trouble, forgotten. Yeah? Then we, you know, again, we drown ourselves in the material world and we forget our connection with Allah. So that's where we have to now understand that this is a concept as well, which is not too well understood by our Jamaat, because unfortunately now we don't also have the languages to understand our Gnanic literature. But I'm going to give you one example here from Anat Akado of Fir Hassan Kabiri. I'll read it out and see if I know the younger ones will not know the meaning. But let's see if any of the older ones understand the meaning here. Ashaji ame sunyata tame varasami sreva tamari ham lianaji vinavu vinavu bahu rupe vinavu ham tere naam patiyana adi anant. I don't know how many of you heard it, but because I know Gujarati and the Indian languages, the minute I came to this phrase, Vinavu, Vinavu, Bahu Rupe, Vinavu, my voice started shaking. Because in this verse, that is what Pir Hassan Kabirdin is doing. He is saying to Mola, we beseech you, we supplicate to you, again and again in many ways, Mola, we'll only be saved by your name. And we submit ourselves, we surrender ourselves to you. It's so powerful. Yeah? And this is only one example. You know, one Gnan, because I keep telling my students, I remember phrases from the Gnans, but I never know which Gnan they belong to. This is a phrase where Pir Mabab says, Gada gada kante vino. Gada gada kante. What does gada gada kante mean? That my voice is choked. My throat is choked. I can't get my words out, Mola. And this state of beseeching earnestly with all your heart and soul, this is what is called Girya Uzari in the Ismaili Tariqa. Means that you have to pray with tears. You can't have dry prayers, you know, which are only from your lips. Those prayers are really a waste of time. The prayer should be from the heart. What happens that if your heart is really engaged with the name of Mola and you are totally immersed in your dua for those 5 or 7 minutes only, what will happen? That the light of the imam will strongly send its rays to your heart, and your heart will be like an ocean or a lake, and the sun's rays, how do they heat up the water? And the water rises up in vapors. And when the vapors go up to the sky, the temperature falls, so the vapor again becomes drops, and then you have rain. And that is the concept in the Ismaili Tariqa, that the Imam's nur on a mu'min's heart is like this. It raises vapors from your heart to your eyes, and then you have drops of tears. And we all know, don't we, that when the Imam comes in a zahiri sense to give didar, there are many people in the darbar who are sobbing or crying quietly or having tears in their eyes, because that yearning, the Imam's nur physically becomes so close to you that you cannot control yourself. It just happens. If only we could do that in every prayer that we have every day, then think of how amazing our humility would be. You know, and no unethical things, no nafarmanis will come near us if we can keep that that state of humility and viryavzari and suppliance, you know, be suppliant, submit, submission. And Hazrat Imam uses the word submission quite a lot. He says that when we do zikr during the daytime, even outside the time of prayers, this is a submission to our faith. You know, these are the recent farmans of Mawla. All right. And now I shall talk a little bit about how we have talked a lot about. I think, I don't know, I'm really not sure whether I should repeat this here, but it may be a question. You know, people still do not understand their always number crunch. They say, or we Ismailis recite dua three times a day. But the rest of the Muslims, they say namaz five times a day. Five versus three. This is a completely wrong argument. It is completely wrong to say that. What we have to remember is that the dua is an esoteric practice. It is on the level of hakika. Whereas the five-time namaz is on the level of sharia, which is the beginning of the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We, as Ismaili Jamaat, have gone through that stage. We were practicing sharia with all its requirements. Five-time namaz, 30 days of fasting from food and water, 2.5% from our savings, zakat, and once in our lifetime, a physical hajj to the Kaaba, if we could afford it, etc., etc. We practiced all those things right up to the time of Maulana Hassan, Allah Zikri His Salam. From the time of the Prophet to Maulana Hassan, Allah Zikri His Salam is approximately 500 years. And in the time of Maulana Hassan al-Azikri Salam, I think the date is 1164, I think. I can't be exactly sure, okay? Because I'm repeating this. I didn't want to, but maybe I think it's a good reminder for us that at the time of Maulana Hassan al-Azikri Salam, in the period of Al-Mawt, it was a day in the month of Ramadan. The Jamaat wafting from food and water, the Imam commanded them to gather and he told them they should break their fast. And then he gave the guidance that today I am raising you from the level of Sharia to the level of Hakika. And to the level of Hakika, it means that instead of dividing the day into five times, and then reciting or remembering God through Salat or Namaz, Mawla said, now you have to remember God all the time. This is why in the Quran, there are ayats about da'imu zikr, about standing, sit, those who remember God standing, sitting, and lying on their sides, because, you know, that's what every human being does in his 24 hours. They either lie down, or they are sitting, or they are standing, meaning all the time. Hara dhamma zikara karna, we have in our Vinaya. This other than ut de bet de raha chalante nama sahiba jika lijiya. Yes, and I have also mentioned in previous lectures that a very appropriate explanation is in the Paradise of Submission, which Sayyidina Nasiruddin Tusi or Sultan Mahmud have written. And in it, he gives a beautiful explanation. He says that in the time of Sharia, Ibadat is within time, right? Meaning you divide the time into five sections and then you remember God five times. But in the time of Qiyamah or the time of Hakika, time is immersed in Ibadat. Time, all of the time is immersed in Ibadat. What a beautiful explanation, right? And then Mola said, 30 days of fasting from food and water is not enough. You have to fast every day in a batini sense with your mind, with your thoughts, with your eyes, what you see, with what you hear, with what you speak, with what you feel in your heart, with what you do, with your hands or with your feet. You know, we have this in the Vinayas, 10 different fasts of all our organs and limbs. So that you, the point is that you want to purify yourself. You want to become muttaqi, you want to become righteous, you want to practice taqwa. You want to be what the Diamond Jubilee ayat tells us, that those who are righteous or pure or noble in conduct, they are the ones who are closest to God. Surah 49, ayah 13, and for many of you who are from South London, Anna, that is the ayah which Gulji has painted on that mural when you go up the stairs. That is the ayah, 49, 13. The one who is noblest in conduct is the closest to God. And then Mola said, 2.5% is not enough from your savings, because you can say at the end of the year, I have no savings, so no zakat. The Imam said, you have to give 10% from your earnings. I mean, think of that. And then add to that 2.5%, which was the peers, haq, the due of the peer. So that makes it 12.5% from your earning. So do you see how all the concepts of the Sharia, which were almost at a practical and a basic level, like in education at a primary or nursery level, all of those were raised up, absorbed and raised up to the secondary level, college level, or even higher. And this is called the level of Hakika. And dua, three times dua is part of that, because the three times dua is actually supposed to be a congregational prayer. Maulana Hasim Imam has said about that, that attend Jamakana. This is a Maputo Farman, Mozambique, in 1998. Attend Jamakana, congregational prayer is important. And I would like that attendance will be as regularly as you are able. It is important that you attend whenever you can. Jamakana, congregational prayer. Those are the three duas. But apart from that, the rest of the time we should be da'imu zikr, constant zikr. And many people say, how can I do that? Yes, you can. How? If you're, you know, at your business, be ethical. Serve your customers as human beings, as human brothers and sisters. This is remembering God. Don't cheat. Don't do nafar money. Don't bend the rules. This is ibadat. If you are teaching somebody, give your best to them. Like, you know, And if you are students, listen with care, because your teacher, your speaker is giving you information and knowledge. You can be remembering God in many, many. It doesn't just mean Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. Go for a walk, remember Mawla. Are you walking to Jamaat Khana or are you driving to Jamaat Khana? Remember Mawla. Women who are cooking, are you cutting your vegetables? Remember Mawla as you cut your vegetables. So you can do that. 24 hours, okay? All right. You know, I thought it was going to be an introduction, but I brought in many more points than I originally intended. But let me just summarize what we've said, right? Let's summarize that today we talk about the meaning of dua. Yes. Why is it important? And how should it be performed? Those three things are really very, very important, right?